So what is the difference between Adam and Eve's temptations and Jesus's? And then what are the outcomes? Now for Adam and Eve, they were in a garden. They were very comfy. They had lots of flowers and they were just very fed, not hungry, not thirsty, cared for by God. And God made them feel secure, very special, at peace. There was no manipulation, no head games, only love. All of their needs were met. Now Jesus was in the wilderness and he was like towards the end of his fasting. It was the end of the 40 days. So he was famished. He was thirsty beyond our grasp, probably beyond our imagination. Uncomfortable. And that's the understatement of the year, maybe the understatement of the millennium. He was totally exhausted. And he was alone. Now for Adam and Eve, here they were, all in the garden, comfy, happy, everything was going great. But then comes the snake, the devil, and he was conniving. He was subtle, manipulative, the type who kind of played head games, sneaky, and would even give backhanded compliments to them. He would strive to bring them confusion, not peace. He would strive to make them discontent and insecure and anxious. He was shrewd and he was wicked. And he gave them promises of anything, all things, which were not his promises or his things to give. He was incapable of giving anything that was good or pure or constructive, or righteous. But boy, he could dangle evil in front of their faces, and they fell for it. Adam and Eve chose to want to be like God, or to be better than God, to know just as much, if not maybe more than God. They wanted more suddenly because of the devil. So they decided to trust in their own judgment. Adam and Eve were now self-absorbed, concerned with what they wanted, their power, their knowledge. God's will went right out the window, and with not very much effort from the devil. How sad that was. And what an indictment on humanity and our superficial love of God, only when it's convenient. The outcome is separation from God and death. Now Jesus wasn't in a garden. He was totally famished, exhausted, at an extremely vulnerable point. So here, once again, different circumstance, enters Satan, thinking, okay, this is going to be an easy win. So Satan starts in. He says, if, notice that just slightly subtle word, if you are the Son of God. So right away he's using insecurity, trying to evoke doubts in Jesus, maybe self-doubts. So he teases him with, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. That was a great temptation because Jesus was famished. Not hungry, he was famished. But Jesus wasn't out for himself. Jesus put God first and us next. It wasn't all about him in his mind. So he says, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. I can't imagine what Satan was thinking, and it's probably not fit for repeating right now, I'm sure. Sure, it wasn't pleased. But Jesus was famished, but he still chose obedience. He chose to listen to every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now that's something to think about or meditate on. Not just during, but any time. How many of God's words do we hear? How many of God's words do we obey? Do we hear 100%, 75%, 50%, 25%, 10%? How many do we obey? 100%? Not. 75%? 50%? 25, 10, 1. But now Satan, he wants to win. Satan does not want us to be close to God. Satan wants disobedience, feelings of isolation, alienation, despair, doubt, and fear, and anxiety, and stress. So what does he pick on next? First it was identity and power and hunger. Second, it's identity again and trust in God the Father. And then a forced sign of God's faithfulness to Jesus. The ploy was divide and conquer. Jesus says, "No, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Didn't work. So at this point, the devil was thinking, wow, what the heck is wrong with him? Satan was angry. He was frustrated and jealous. And then he comes back, fully prepared, fully loaded again. And he brings Jesus very, very high up on a mountain and shows Jesus all the kingdoms in all their splendor. And he says, I will give you all of these if you will fall down and worship me. The devil knew that Jesus had lived a very common, very poor and humble life and existence, and wanted to entice him with all of these things, all of these kingdoms and possessions and grandeur, hoping and depending on Jesus to be greedy or to at least have a twinge of greed, a twinge of me, myself, and I. But Jesus was not interested. Jesus was not about to fall down and worship Satan. And as we know, mankind had done all falling down already. What Jesus desired was, what God's will was for Jesus. What Jesus desired was to pick all of us up from our fall and keep us from falling even further away from God. In fact, Jesus was and did reconcile us back to God. Jesus picks us up. Jesus returns us back. He returns us back to God. So the outcome this time that Jesus gave us is us living with God and having eternal life, being in the presence of God within his loving arms. And yes, Jesus, wanting only to obey and serve and love God, he replies to Satan. He says, "Away with you, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Yes, the devil, even he knows scripture and tries to use it to disrupt and to confuse our relationship and our choices and our love towards God and each other. But Jesus not only knows God's holy scriptures, the Bible, he not only knows God's word, but Jesus is God's word and loves God the Father first and above all else. and loves us so much that our turning back to God, our reconciliation to God, our salvation is first and foremost on his list of things to do. That is God's will. That is what Jesus accomplishes. Now, just so we realize, eating the fruit in the Garden of Eden or turning the stones into bread are not in and of themselves sins. It's when God says, don't do that, and we still do. That's the sin. Like Jesus, we are to listen to and live by every word that comes from God. We are to trust in God more than trusting in ourselves or others. We are to worship him and not let anyone or anything distract us or keep us from our true worship of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are to serve him and love our Lord first and foremost. So our colic, I think, is perfect today. We can pray. Come quickly, God, to help us, who are assaulted by many temptations, and as you know, the weaknesses of each of us. Let each one of us find you mighty to save through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Our God is faithful, and our God is always present.